Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. And Jesus was instituting the Last Supper, but we're going to look at another part of this. Verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It was shed for the forgiveness of all your sins." This is a struggle that people absolutely, they have to go through. And if they'll just face it, head on with the Word of God and deal with it, they'll walk away free. But here's the thing. People have condemnation. There's a lot of Christians that are walking around in condemnation. And here's the idea. They don't feel forgiven. Well, guess what? We don't go by our feelings. We go by the Word of God. If you will zero in on the Word of God and get dialed in on that and be bullheaded about it, and I'll just give you my own personal experience on this. There were some things that I didn't feel like I was forgiven of. And finally, I had to just confront it because I didn't feel like I had been forgiven. I had to sit down there and look at the Bible and say, I am forgiven because the blood of Jesus forgave me for everything. I didn't feel forgiven. I am forgiven because that's what the Bible says. I didn't feel forgiven. I am forgiven because that's what the Bible says. I don't feel forgiven. I am forgiven. Over and over and over and over and over again. Then guess what happened? My feelings lined up with the Word of God. But see, what happens is people want to try to get the Word of God to line up with their feelings. And that won't work. It will not work. We absolutely have to just every once in a while square up with the Word of God and force our bodies and our minds to line up with what the Word says. Understand this, that if there's condemnation, it's not from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." So if you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. You got, in fact, at that very moment when you got born again, you got the one baptism that's needful for salvation. The one. Now, there's three baptisms we need to be concerned with. But the one that's needful for salvation is to be born again. Has absolutely nothing with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with getting dunked in water. It's just being born again. Period. I tell you how confusing this is and how many false teachings there are. We taught in a little Southern Baptist church up in Wyoming for 9 months. This one lady came up to me one time. I've been teaching on baptism. She came up to me and I figured, well, here come the rocks, you know, because I'd let them know the Holy Spirit was part of that, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. She come up to me and she said, "Are you telling me that I don't have to be water baptized to get to heaven?" I said, "I exactly told you that." She said, "I want to get baptized. I've been waiting for 30 years for somebody to tell me that." How did that get so confusing? Man's ideas, man not discerning the Word of God, not getting in there and rightfully dividing the Word of truth, following the traditions of their forefathers and coming up with their own ideas. The one baptism needful for salvation is to be born again. So once you do that, you're in Christ Jesus. And the Bible clearly tells us that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So when there's a problem, we just deal with it. We don't worry about it. Let's look at John chapter 9. As somebody who's had hundreds of employees under me, I know this one. John chapter 9, verse 1 says, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now here's the thing. There's always problems. There's always something wrong, isn't there? There's always something. But when there's a problem, just deal with it. Don't worry about fault finding. See, these guys were wasting their time trying to find out who to blame. Is it mom's fault? Is it dad's fault? They were wasting their time. And Jesus didn't waste 1 minute on that. He said, just forget that. Deal with the problem. Deal with the problem. See, I deal with this with employees all the time. Something will happen, and it just drives me nuts when I got to spend 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour trying to find out what's wrong instead of who did it. Most normally, I tell them, I don't care who did what. I want to know what we got to do about this. That's what Jesus was saying. He wasn't interested. Said, just get to the problem and fix it. And notice, he said, go to the pool of Siloam, which being interpreted is sent. See, Jesus was giving us a clue. Jesus is the sent one. He's our pool of Siloam. We can run to him. Amen? Every time there's a problem, the first person you should check in with is Jesus. Because he's eradicated them already. But see, here's the thing. Satan, the accuser, is the minister of condemnation. He's the one that's behind this fault finding. You know, he's the one that's behind blaming somebody else. Because when you blame somebody else, it tries to bring condemnation on them. So you got to determine whose side you want to be on. We want to make sure that we're on the righteousness side. It does no good, even if you can pin the blame on somebody. That's not going to do any good at all, is it? All it's going to do is bring condemnation on them, and the problem is still there. So, since we know that blaming and fault-finding brings condemnation, and that Satan is the minister of condemnation, We found out about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Satan comes from the devil, not God. We don't want to be partakers in his ministry, do we? So this, forget about who's right and wrong and focus on the answer. That's what Jesus was doing right there. And look what happened. The guy got better. He went away seeing. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54. And see, the number one thing that we're trying to make sure is that we have no condemnation. That is actually a gift. And if we'll receive that, you'll walk in a new level of freedom. But you have to receive it. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord, saith the Lord." It's just, I said those verses so many times to myself. So just to try to read them, the way they're written is hard. So I just say it the way I memorized it. But I walk around saying those verses all the time. But look what it said there. It says, "Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn." Now, here's the thing. You have to understand that if the blood of Jesus is good enough for you, it's got to be good enough for your neighbor. It's got to be good enough for every Christian walking the face of this earth. But sometimes talking to some people, it's almost like they got a different blood of Jesus than this other guy did. You know, somebody makes a mistake and the church will pounce on them like a pack of wolves. It's crazy. But you have to understand, that guy did make a mistake. Did you know he's still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Even though he made a mistake. But see, if all we can do is hound him, guess what that does to you? You're feeding also condemnation to yourself, too. Because then when you make a mistake, guess who gets to feel bad? See, we want to walk in freedom. We want to walk in a level of freedom, not bondage, no condemnation. We're going to have to fully understand the ministry of forgiveness and righteousness. Amen. People get confused about this. They say, how could that man be the righteousness of God living the way he did? You know, there's people that live righteous lives that conquer and reign. And there's people that are the righteousness of God that live defeated lives and barely get out of scrapes by the skin of their teeth. You know, Abraham was a righteous man. And he was blessed with big herds and a lot of servants. But did you know that Lot was a righteous man? Even while he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was a righteous man. If he wasn't a righteous man, he wouldn't have got out of the city. But he wasn't living according to the good book, now was he? But he was a righteous man. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 10. John chapter 8, verse 10 says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, this is the gift of no condemnation. These people, I call them the religious mafia, these Pharisees, they had caught this woman in the act of adultery. And see, they had lawfare back then, just the way we do now. You know, last I knew, it took two people to commit adultery. That was the last I knew anything about. Anyway, there was only one of them that got accused. This woman got thrown down at the feet of Jesus. And they said, according to our law, she should be stoned. And Jesus, he wrote something in the sand. I have no idea what he wrote in the sand. But when the dust settled, there was nobody standing around that felt that they were qualified to throw a rock. They all went away. And this was kind of an interesting thing. Did you ever notice the order of how they went away? The oldest left first. I believe the longer that you study the Word of God, you find out just how much you really don't know. And you find out just how much you really do need the grace of God. The younger ones were the last ones to leave. They thought they were pretty cool, but they left. But did you notice what Jesus said? He said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Now, wouldn't you think he'd say, go and sin no more and I won't condemn you? Now, he could have said that, couldn't have he? But that wouldn't work now, would it? Because then she'd be earning something from him. If you don't go and sin anymore, I won't condemn you. She had failed the first day. But he said, go and sin no more. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. So she got the free gift of no condemnation first, didn't she? He gave her the ability to go home and sin no more. He let her know how much she was forgiven. How cool is that? He gave her the gift before he told her to sin no more. So look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So, always in the Old Testament, they had to have these sacrifices, and some of them they had to do them yearly because they had this remembrance of these sins, and they got an atonement from the animal sacrifices. They got that blood gave them an atonement, but that had to be renewed every year. But Jesus, the final sacrifice with his blood, did something different than an atonement. See, an atonement is just a covering. But a remission is a complete washing away. Completely washed clean. That's why they say you're white as wool. Completely, the computer guys would call it bleach bit. But it's even better than that because nobody can uncover it. They can't find it. In fact, the Bible, you know, what I understand is God, he basically took those sins and put them into the sea of forgiveness. That's not the sea of forgetfulness. That's not in the Bible. But he cast them things away. You know, but here's the thing. With people believing the condemnation, they keep go fishing those sins up. Leave them alone. God washed them away. He took them away. All of them, past, present, and future. I know this makes people crazy sometimes when I say that he took care of your future sins. But unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there, every single sin you committed was a future sin. Every single one of them. Now, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Remember what he just said about that woman. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, according to their law, she was condemned. According to their law, she was condemned. But according to Jesus, she walked away by grace. Now, are you under the law or under grace? See, most of the church wants to say they're under grace, but they don't act like they're under grace. And then a bunch of them play games with grace, and they treat it just terribly. Here's the thing about grace. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's grace. He puts you into grace. When you got born again, he redeemed you from the curse of the law. It's easy to identify people. If you are afraid that you are going to get punished by God because you made a mistake, guess what? You're still hanging on to that Old Testament religion. You know you're going to make mistakes. But because of grace, you're going to be okay. Now, that does not give you a license to be an idiot. This is where people make a mistake. They think they can just go do whatever they want to do. And that is not what the Bible says. You know, there is a devil out there. And God is not obligated to protect you when you're being a complete idiot on purpose. But people still try to play that card. And they get out there in no man's land, and then they wonder why something bad happened to them. It's like that monkey sneaking up on that lion with a stick, and he's going to poke that lion. Now, Christians are that way all the time. I run into them all the time. They go up there, and they're going to poke that lion. God says, don't poke that lion. Don't poke that lion. And then Christians run out there and poke that lion. The lion gets up and mauls them. And then they blame God. Why did you let that happen to me? I said, I told you don't poke that lion. Didn't he tell you to not do certain things? There are certain things he told us not to do. And people insist on doing them, and then they wonder why bad things happen to them. See, they're trying to live by sloppy grace, and that there's no such thing as sloppy grace in the Bible. There is grace by God, the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And it's because you've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that you rule and reign over sin. See, grace and righteousness will help you beat sin. Now, look at Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I not. But what I hate, that I do. See, there's Paul having this battle with his flesh. He said, I don't want to do this, but then I do it. And then what I do want to do, I don't do it. Everybody's in the same position. Everybody has this fight. We all got to fight our flesh. Paul had to fight his flesh. If the Apostle Paul had to fight his flesh, there's nobody on the face of this planet that should be walking around thinking that they won't have to fight their flesh. Amen? But for some reason, we got a bunch of people walking around thinking they won't have to fight their flesh. Maybe God will do it for them. Paul had to do it. Paul had to fight his flesh. Now look down to verse 24. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, he even got frustrated about it. You know, who's going to deliver me from this? And he tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, he says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Right there, Jesus condemned sin so that we could walk in righteousness. Amen? So I'm not saying you're not going to feel bad when you make a mistake. You should. I mean, if you have a soul, you're going to feel bad when you make a mistake. There are some people that don't. There's some people that have sold their souls to the devil. Their souls are seared. They're scarred. They're seared with the flames of hell. But they're still walking around on the face of this earth, and they have absolutely no regard for human life. See, this is why I tell people you should pay attention where you're, especially you're on the border. There's some people south of the border, especially, that really have no regard for human life. And you should pay attention where you're going and what you're doing. Not everybody in this country is a Christian. But as far as us, feeling bad for several months because we make a mistake, that is not biblical. That's not from God. You make a mistake, okay, you feel bad, you should, but you know what? First thing you need to do is get back in contact with righteousness. Say, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am not going to live in condemnation because of this mistake. You know who's bringing condemnation in your way? It's the devil. You know how he gets you to believe in condemnation? He reminds you of how you missed the mark on the law. So let's walk in freedom. Let's walk in liberty. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for this liberty that you have placed us into. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for protecting us. And we thank you for guiding us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we praise you that as we take up the name of Jesus, we can cast down every flaming dart. We take up the breastplate of righteousness. We'll walk free of condemnation. We thank you for the helmet of salvation that you've given us and the sandals of peace and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit. Father, we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the courthouse is National Day of Prayer. We're going to make it a point to be there on purpose, release our faith, and believe God to change this country. Amen?